If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
How many devices do you really need? There's always a new super pro model phone or computer out there, but do you really have to go all out, or will something simpler do the trick? With us this morning to help us break it all down, our digital and social media strategy expert, Scott Kleinberg. Scott, good morning. I hope you can save us some money today.
Good morning, Bob. I mean, maybe I can. I actually love this topic because I think a lot of people feel overwhelmed by all the choices and wonder if they're missing out if they don't buy the biggest, fastest, and most expensive device.
Absolutely. Let's start with the basics. If someone is just using email, browsing the web, doing basic spreadsheets, something like that, what kind of device do they really need?
Well, for those day-to-day tasks, email, shopping, if you're just paying bills online, that could fall into that category. Light word processing, then a basic mid-range phone or computer is more than enough. And the truth is, you're not tapping into all the power that you pay extra for in the pro model unless you're doing something really specialized, like large photo edits, gaming, or even video production.
So those ads for laptops or phones with the Ultra or Max tag, you're saying most people won't use half of that, half of what they offer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Most people, especially for personal use, don't need 32 gigabytes of RAM or the highest end processor because it won't make checking email or typing a letter any smoother. And in fact, many entry level or mid-tier devices are already optimized to be snappy enough for those basic tasks.
It's been my experience that the salespeople at the Apple store really do a pretty good job of connecting you up with a device that matches your needs. They don't really try to oversell too much. Has that been your experience?
It's been my experience, yes. I think some of that has to do with the fact that Apple Store people don't work on commission, which is another reason to not necessarily do that. But I honestly do. I agree with you. I give them credit because I think at the end of the day, they want people to walk out with a device that's going to work for them, knowing that they're going to be using that device probably for several years.
Right. But what if someone is a photographer or wants to edit videos at home? Is that when you really need to step it up?
Yeah. If you are doing heavy photo editing, let's say 4K video production, you're running demanding software for work like engineering tools, you're using big databases, advanced design, then you'll notice the difference when you go more pro. And the extra RAM, in that case, a stronger processor and better graphics, make those tasks not just possible, but much more pleasant. And for those folks, a higher end pro model can actually be a smart investment.
And we're just talking about regular family videos or vacation pictures. People sometimes think they need a performance machine for those, don't they?
Yeah, and here's where things get just a little bit murky, because these days, the better cameras come with the more top-of-the-line models. So if you're a photographer at heart, and that really matters to you, then you might consider going with something a little bit bigger, a little bit better. But if that's not you, you have choices. But to answer your question about, you know, regular photos or videos, those tasks, like let's say you want to trim a video clip or touch up a photo, that's much less demanding. And most current smartphones and standard laptops, they can handle those with ease.
What about the fear of missing out that a lot of people have? Folks worry if they don't get the top of the line device now, they'll suffer a couple of years down the road when all the new features come out. Is that a real risk?
I say it's a very common feeling. There's some truth to it. You know, companies like Apple, Samsung, and others, they keep innovating. And a recent example is Apple's announcement of, you know, Apple Intelligence. I'm sure everybody's heard about that in one way or another. Those features only work on newer devices like the iPhone 15 Pro models and up. So, for example, you could actually buy a new phone today and still miss some next generation features. So, yeah, it's potentially a risk.
You're never really future-proof, are you?
No. And even if you buy the fanciest one, because tech moves fast, and most people get 4 or 5 years of good performance out of a device. But eventually, some features or updates might require hardware that the device just doesn't have. But most often, basics like calls and text and web, your device is going to work great for much longer. And the funny thing is, there's always examples of tech that becomes outdated almost immediately. Like when a model comes out and it gets replaced, like within months. I still don't know why companies allow that to happen, but they do. Hopefully, it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, how often should you really upgrade? We'll get to that and also our Genius Bar question. It's our Tuesday Tech Talk with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, how often should we upgrade? How often do we need to do that? Should you trade in every year or two to stay current, or just hold on to your device until it gives out?
I would say it comes down to personal preference and budget, Bob, and there's really no right answer, but here's a few things that I would keep in mind. If you do frequent trading, you'll always have the newest features, but you'll always pay a premium. Plus, frequent changes can be disruptive and time-consuming to you in general. If you keep a device longer, it saves money over the long run and it avoids hassle. And like we were saying, many devices are perfectly usable for years. The downside is, we were also saying, you might eventually miss out on certain new features or eventually lose support for the newest operating system. But for most people, that isn't urgent.
A lot of people hang on to their devices until, you know, if it's a phone, until the battery won't hold a charge or security updates end. A lot of folks do that, don't they?
And that's actually, Bob, a smart strategy because once security updates stop, it's definitely wise to consider replacing the device because outdated software can leave you vulnerable. But you don't need to worry about missing out on features you'll likely never use. And this is actually how I often operate. If I can't update my device, I know that is the automatic point where it is time to trade in.
Now, this is what drives a lot of people crazy, including me. You think you have the latest and greatest the day it comes out if you buy it, and then in less than a year, there's something bigger, better, or newer. Back in the day, things didn't change for years and years. Not so today, is it?
That is such an amazing point, Bob, because you're right. You know, in some cases, you know, I'm the same way. You know, as I age, I realize it's not always practical to just buy and buy and buy. And that's one of the reasons that this was such a worthy topic to pursue, because what's best for one person might not be the best for someone else. And you were talking about things changing back in the day. It used to be that you kept a TV for 30 years. Now, with TVs, obsolete within 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and other devices too. It's all about marketing, and marketing can make it sound like yesterday's phone or computer is already obsolete. So how do you see through the hype?
That's a good question. And the answer is it helps to make a list of what you actually do with that device and then focus on matching the device features to your real everyday task. Don't let marketing convince you that every upgrade is essential and that if you don't have it, you'll be sorry. Most people, even with basic needs, sometimes get that pressure to buy up where you sit there and you think, oh, I have to buy up. But remember, most tech companies make bigger profits selling you more device than you truly need.
All right, leave us with your three top recommendations as far as making the decision as to how much you really need a new device.
Absolutely. So one, assess what you really do. List those key use cases. Are you emailing, browsing, video calling? Use that as your shopping guide. I would say be honest with yourself about future needs. If you plan to go out and learn video editing or really, really professional photography, then sure, you might want to invest a little bit more, but don't buy for imaginary needs. And I would say the other one is don't chase perfection. come to the realization that there will always be a better device released tomorrow. There is nothing you can do to stop that train. So I would aim for good enough. And at the end of the day, what you want is something that works best for you for your real day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. You don't need the maxed out model unless your real world tasks demand it, right?
That's perfectly stated. Make yourself a smart, intentional choice because your wallet will thank you. And then you can use some of that leftover money to buy a really good case.
Right. Let's open up the Genius Bar. Good question for Scott Kleinberg on the text line. Bob, could you ask Scott, what is the best way to transfer all my Xfinity emails and folders and subfolders to Gmail?
Oh, that is a good question. Actually, you can, I don't know exactly which kind of computer you're necessarily using, but you can copy emails from folders in almost all email clients from, like if you have Apple Mail, for example, you can drag those folders from Apple Mail to Gmail, provided you have the Gmail folder set up in your account. So you can drag and drop from one folder to the other, from one folder from Xfinity to Gmail, or you can actually export all of your mailboxes as they call them mbox files, like that little extension at the end of a file, .mbox, and then you can hit import and you can import them into Gmail. For most people, I would say dragging and dropping is probably the easiest way to do it. And in almost all cases, you can do it by email or you can do it by folder. If you decide that everything in that folder doesn't need to be transferred, you can be more specific and go into each one and drag the files.
Got a question for Scott? Let us hear from you. You can text it in at 312-981-7200 or email bobshow@wgnradio.com. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Bob. Take care.
You as well.